Daddy's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown? Whoa, 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 whoa. Tell me why. I don't like Mondays.
And good afternoon, everybody. Jonathan Scott with Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio 920 AM. And it's true, I don't like Mondays.
You never did.
I know. Some I'm more awake than others, but this one particularly I like. Really? I didn't want it to end. It was such a great weekend.
Really?
Oh, yeah, with the Kentucky Derby on Saturday, boxing on Saturday, the NBA playoffs.
Where did you end up watching the race on Saturday?
At my home sports book and casino, the Westgate.
Excellent.
Formerly the Las Vegas Hilton, formerly LVH Le Vieux. Formerly the Hotel International, which at the time was the largest hotel in the world when it was built. Did you know that?
I did not.
With over 3,000 rooms, the Westgate, or the original Hotel International, was the largest hotel in the world. Anyway, if you're near a computer and you want to watch what we're looking like, you could go to at Jonathan Scott LV, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N Scott LV, and like and share it and like it and share it. So how was your weekend?
Weekend was great, bro. I mean, we started off with a great show on Friday.
My God, thanks to Cindy Williams.
She's incredible. And Vinny from
Vinny and Delfini,
the Bronx Wanderers.
The Bronx Wanderers, Alan and Kathy Gliss, shout out. If you haven't seen the Bronx Wanderers, or if you're going through menopause... If you want to go, and menopause musical is for guys too. It's, you know, it's anybody that's gone through it with their wife or girlfriend, you need to see the show. But the Bronx Wanderers is a phenomenal musical show. It's a family show. Vinny and his two sons, Vinny and Nicky.
Kids are great.
Yeah, loaded with energy. It's a 5:30 show 7 days a week, and that's at Bally's Window Showroom.
Yeah, they're never dark.
Never dark. And they do a lot of Dion and the Belmonts. And they're inspired by Chaz Palminteri from the Bronx. They grew up in the Bronx, and they do a lot of doo-wop and do everything from Queen to Billy Joel. You know, just it's a great... You haven't seen the show yet.
I have not seen the show.
You got to come and see the show.
Yes, I would love to.
So where did you watch? I watched the Derby there, and...
I had my mom and dad in town this weekend.
Yeah, they came to our show.
That was a lot of fun.
How did they like it?
They loved it.
And shout out Dave and Paula.
David and Paula were in town for the weekend getting their Vegas on. They had a great time with the show. They had a great time with Cindy Williams. And I didn't even tell you this because I didn't find out till afterwards.
What?
Cindy walks up to my mom.
Oh, no, I saw that. She thought it was an old friend of hers,
who's
Paula,
also named Paula.
From 40 years ago.
I know. What are the chances?
That was great.
And my mom was like, I think you have me mistaken with someone else.
Yeah, I know. Well, Cindy started talking to her like, Paula, I haven't seen you for 40 years.
I'm like, Mom, you never told me you knew Shirley.
She's Shirley Feeney. And anyway.
So we actually went up to Summerlin. We ended up watching the race at Red Rock.
Oh, that's what you said you were going to do.
Yeah, we went up there and we saw our friend Bob and Uncle Paulie from Brooklyn. And it was a great race. It was a really great race.
I was with
my
partner in crime, Stephanie Scott, and we were like, where should we go watch the race? And we took the home court advantage and went to watch.
Can never go wrong with the Westgate.
Over at the Westgate, brand new monitors. And we also bet NBA, so we kind of hedged it with NBA. And we won on the Warriors and the under on Saturday.
Really?
Yeah, so we've got a lot to talk about today. We've got NBA playoffs. You know what? I was just at the book just now, and Jay Cornings is calling up in a little while. To see if the Preakness has posted yet, and it's not.
It's not. Usually they'll do it the week of.
It's
not this Saturday. It's next Saturday.
It's not this
Saturday? 2 weeks in between.
Oh, I thought it was 1 week in between.
I believe it's two. I could be wrong. And then between the Preakness and the Belmont.
It's 2 weeks, yeah.
And then I think between the Preakness and the Belmont is 3 weeks. Correct or no?
It's 2 weeks.
It's every 2 weeks.
If anybody knows, give us a call, 702-365-9200, 365-9200, so we don't have to look it up while we're on the air. And Jeffrey's and Carl have computers in front of them. I just have copy and notes. Two show openings that I want to talk about, both great friends of Las Vegas entertainment community. Tuesday night, tomorrow night, our friend Clint Holmes is opening his brand-new show at the Golden Nugget Showroom. Clint Holmes is not only a local favorite, but last year won New York City's Cabaret Show of the Year Award. Tickets are on sale now at the Golden Nugget. Thursday, May 11th, 7 p.m., master impressionist Gordy Brown opens at Planet Hollywood's Cabaret. Gordy Brown's comedy impressions include everyone from Neil Young to Michael Jackson. Tickets are also on sale now for Gordy Brown. two great friends of ours, friends of the show, and we wish them all the luck in the world. Clint Holmes and Gordy Brown, part of the fabric of Las Vegas entertainment community. Great guys.
Fabric.
The fabric of Las Vegas entertainment community. Lots of great shows. So, did you watch the fight? Did you watch the highlights of the fight? Was it really that much of an annihilation?
From everything that I have read and seen and heard, it was that much of an annihilation. I believe Canelo won 11 of 12 rounds. And hearing some of the recaps today from some of the local sports shows, it was as though Canelo was trying to get Chavez just to step up and hit him. And Chavez just doesn't have the heart to fight. He just doesn't. He's not that guy. Everyone wants to compare him to his dad. I don't think you'll see him fight again. He made $3 million, and he'll go home very happy.
Yeah.
But the big news after the fight.
What's that?
We get to see the fight that we've all been waiting for. Canelo and Triple G, September 16th, here in Las Vegas, more than likely at T-Mobile. This will be the mega fight that everyone wants to see. And I you know, coming into it in the last few months, I would have said Triple G is going to win easily. However, after watching his last fight, he didn't seem to have that same, I don't know, power, control, dominance that he has had up until now. But I think he's going to raise the bar for the fight against Canelo.
Well, I can see why everybody calls him Triple G. His name is
Gennady Golovkin.
I can't even say it.
Golovkin.
Gennady Golovkin.
You have to say Golovkin.
Golovkin.
I am Golovkin.
Luck is for the mediocre, my friend. Alvarez responded to what would be more like, luck is for the mediocre, my friend.
Now Canelo fought this fight at 164.5, and I don't know what the agreed weight will be for this next fight, but it's going to be unbelievable.
We didn't talk about Cinco de Drinco.
Cinco de Drinco.
Yeah, so we started Friday at noon with shots of tequila.
Yes, and beer.
And beer, of course, beer. Then the show's brought to you, by the way, by Big Dog's Draft House, Rancho and Craig, with over 40-plus craft beers. Carl's showing us something.
It is, in fact, 3 weeks between the Belmont. Between the Preakness and the Belmont.
So 2 weeks to Preakness, 3 weeks to?
To Belmont.
Carl, you could talk.
Oh, well, by the way, this is radio. Yeah, Preakness is May 20th, and the Belmont will be on the June 10th.
So what do you think of the horse that won? Any opinion, Carl?
Well, to me,
is it a triple crown?
Mud races is a great equalizer.
Correct.
It takes the entire field and throws, and the odds clearly state, you know, what can happen in mud, and what did they pay off for? I mean, one of the favorites came in. But
the favorite came in for the fifth year in a row.
But what was the odds on
that? Well, McCracken, I thought, was the favorite.
No.
It started morning line.
Oh.
Okay.
I think 4-1. He went off at 4.5-1.
4.5-1.
5-1.
I mean, you get odds like 8 to 5.
Yeah.
You know?
On real heavy favorites.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the typical race when you talk about,
but
these,
not
the,
in
the
Derby
three,
typically the Derby.
Derby does
is a different race. The field is usually very big.
It's huge.
20 horses.
It's a steeplechase.
And I do agree with you with the mud being an equalizer, as we saw with second, third, and fourth place, which no one had. You know, no one had 5-1 looking at Lee coming in second. That exacta paid
$350. Stephanie Scott did. Yeah. Because she likes Lee's Liquors and Kenny Lee, she bet on the Lee horse.
But I mean, you look at those payoffs.
Well,
we had
trifecta boxes, so we didn't have the third, that number 11 horse, whatever that was. We didn't bet that one, so we didn't win. We had a couple of exactas as well, and that didn't do that well either. But you know, I mean, the odds were so poor on the favorite horse, wouldn't have mattered that much anyway. But we did okay on NBA. So NBA tonight, we've got, 8.5 points on the Warriors?
Yes.
Minus 8.5. Yes, tonight is 8.5 and 206
and a half. That was the morning line. I don't know what the line is right now, but
currently 8.5.
And
up to 207.
Right.
So what's your take on that? What do you think, Jeffrey, with a G?
I think Golden State closes them out tonight.
I
mean, this is a good young Utah team, obviously led by Gordon Hayward. But without Hayward, I mean, he's a one-man show for this team. They're known for their defense, but there isn't a defense out there that can shut down the weapons that Golden State has with Steph Curry, with Draymond Green, with KD. I mean, it's just too much.
Yeah. And I agree with you, but will 8.5 carry it? They're going to be if they're storming these guys by the end of the game, last 5 minutes, say it's a 10-point game or 11 or 12-point game, and all of a sudden the coach says we're not going to injure Curry or any of those guys, and they yank them out. That's going to decrease. I think 8.5 is a probable because the last three games were won by 11 each and 12 respectively, and this one. Eight and a half points. That's going to be a tight one. If it comes down to it, they're going to yank those players, and they're not going to be a part of that 8.5 or the over and under.
Steve Kerr has not been coaching his team due to back-related injury and issues. The interim coach is coaching his team. Right. I don't think he wants to take that chance to sit down his starters, even in a 10-12-point game, and risk having Utah come back and win the game.
What do they gain by losing? They come home.
They don't want to play another game.
I know they don't want to play another, but they come home.
Here's what Carl and I were talking about in the car on the way over here, is that how living in Las Vegas is different than anywhere else in the country on how you watch a game.
Absolutely.
Because here we're gambling, we're betting, and the spread means something. But in other parts of the country, they just care if you win or lose.
They're gambling there, too.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, certainly there's bookies, and people are making bets online and however else they're doing it.
Listen, clearly, Golden State in the West and Cleveland in the East are the cream of the crop. We will more than likely have a rematch of last year's finals.
Absolutely.
I think Golden State does come back this year and take out LeBron and Kyrie and win the series. I think it'll be a great series. LeBron has been playing unbelievably, as has Kyrie, as they swept Toronto after sweeping Indiana. So they're 8-0 in the playoffs.
Well, I hope the referees don't treat him like the golden boy, like Brady. Don't hit me, don't do this, don't do that, and start calling some fouls on him, because he's not impregnable. He is human, and he does make mistakes, and he fouls people, and they don't call it.
You're saying that LeBron gets favorable calls?
I think that's a great paraphrase, yeah.
I just like the word impregnable. You know, I like it. In some of these games like this, I like first quarter or first half betting, you know, with Golden State Warriors minus 4.
I love the over in the first quarter.
First quarter, 52.5.
I love the over because Utah's going to come out firing. They have to. Their back's against the wall, and Golden State can score with the best of them.
All right, we're going to talk more about this.
Golden State can score 50 on their own.
We're going to take our first commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Scott, Vegas Nonstop, back on the airwaves here at NBC Sports Radio 920, The Game. So during the break, if you were listening, talked a little bit about our wine club. And if you love the idea of having wine delivered to your home or going to great wine tasting parties, you can visit the website at VegasWineLovers.com. That's VegasWineLovers.com. Or leave a message for me at 702-883-1111, 883-1111. So we talked about Golden State and Utah Jazz a little bit, but joining us on the line is our favorite sportsbook executive, Jay Cornegy. Jay, you with us?
Hey, Jonathan, how are you?
I live in the dream, but I'm not sure whose.
Hopefully it's a good one.
Well, thanks again for putting up with us on Saturday. It was a great day over at Westgate. And, you know, we're talking a little bit about some of the different betting strategies. And one of them that I bring up joining me is you've met Jeffrey with a G.
Jay, how are you, my man?
Good. Jeffrey, how are you?
I'm terrific. Thanks.
So we've talked about, and I don't know if this is just at your place over at Westgate or not, but when I've tried to place a bet on a double-digit spread, they won't allow me to do a parlay, particularly in football. Is that just something that you guys do, or is that pretty much every book?
No, every book will have some limitations for that. I'm going to guess you probably were looking at to bet the favorite and over, or the underdog and under. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's usually the dog. If I'm going to take 13 or 14 points, I'll take the dog and the over.
Oh, the dog and over?
Well, usually, because if there's that many points, my logic is it's going to be a big scoring game.
Really? Okay.
But I'm probably
wrong.
Well,
those are usually okay. But the ones that have some correlation, and that's the reason for limitations on those type of wagers, is that there is some correlation between a favorite covering a large spread and going over the total, as there is a underdog covering a large spread and it going under. So there is some statistics that favor that if a favorite is going to cover a large spread, there's a better chance of it going over. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's usually what I'll do. But I'll take the dog usually. I'll take the points.
Yeah, but if you bet the dog, you would probably go under. Right?
Well, you would know better than I.
Well, I'm just saying that if you want to bet the underdog and go over, then most likely a wager like that would go through. You know, there's some other variable here. But as far as in most cases, books will limit those type of parlays, no matter what sport it is, but especially in football, because there is some correlation there.
Well, you know that to me there's only really two seasons, football and no football, so this is kind of like sports purgatory for me, even though there's so much going on. How much of it is your gut, you know, how much does your gut come into play opposed to the computers and the stats?
Very little. If I was that good, I'd probably be on the other side of the counter, but I'm not, so I'm still punching in and out. And I we have about 2 cents. I think the key is to, as a bookmaker, you know your players, know what type of money that's coming in, dissecting that kind of money where it's the difference between sharp play and just kind of the public play, and getting yourself in a position where you want to be for each and every game. My 2 cents worth, and that's about it, is factored in there on certain occasions, but very, very, very small percentage of it.
What kind of action were you taking on Saturday for the Derby, Jay?
We actually had a good Derby. We were about 12%. We had about a 12% increase in handle over prior year, so that was a good sign. I'm not holding my breath because horse racing certainly has its challenges, but we had a great crowd. We had a lot of real good players in that came in for this weekend. So the handle was really good for us. The result, not so much for Derby futures, as we always dreaming was actually one of our losers that we had. So once again, we lose on Derby futures, but not that we got used to it. It's just a little frustrating that it's a very difficult proposition to book because the odds are so high, and it seems like some of the sharp money focuses in like the six or seven horses that have a chance. So unless we get a real big upset, like I don't know, like Mind That Bird or Giacomo or someone like that, it's usually a tough bet for us to accept.
I totally understand what you mean. Now, typically on a Derby race, a race of this size, what kind of handle do you guys take in?
Oh, I'm not sure. I can't get out individual numbers, but I know that around the state, I think they just sent that, but statewide, I think it was an increase of about 4% year over year, which you usually don't see that. But the state will handle somewhere just over $9 million on the that's basically all the handle on all the tracks during the course of Derby Day. So it's a pretty significant number considering, we're talking about horse racing here. But it's also a race that most people, actually, if they bet one race, it's going to be this one.
Right, of course. Now, obviously, Always Dreaming came in, and he was one of the favorites. But I would imagine, what was the one horse? Looking at Lee, is that right?
Yeah.
Coming in second probably helped you?
It doesn't really matter for us because we're hoping that people just win on parimutuel because it's just based off commission and we get a certain percentage of the handle. So we just want people to bet more. So with that said, usually you kind of want some of the favorites to come in just because that's what most of the people are betting. And if they do win the race, most likely they're going to turn it over, you know, for the rest of the day or even the next day. So, you know, what we were looking at as a winner, which was a losing proposition for us, as I mentioned. But as far as the overall, you know, second place, third place, in the fourth place, you know, superfecta, we're kind of hoping that it's a popular choice. So I think most people probably did not have that combination, since I think it paid like $8,000 or something like that for the exacta, and it was a big number. I can't remember, like 74,000 or 76,000 for the try. So I can't imagine too many people had it with prices that big. Usually, there's not that many people in our house that's cashing tickets.
Yeah, obviously that's a huge ticket. I think the exacta was like $330 or $340.
Oh,
as well.
I thought the exacta was like $8,000 or
no,
something.
No, that was the try.
Was it the try?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
Yeah, but that was definitely a big ticket. Now, you go from the Derby, which goes off here at 3:30, and then you go right into the fight Saturday night. I'm assuming, even though Canelo was such a heavy favorite, that most of the action was coming in on Chavez Jr. just because they were taking the 4.5, 5-to-1 action.
Yeah, that's very typical boxing patterns, betting patterns that we see. And same thing with USC. But in a case like this, people just like that low risk, high reward. There's not too many people that want to wager, you know, $55 to win 10. You know, or it's not attractive to them. So you get a lot of the small tickets on Chavez, which that's exactly what happened. In fact, I think maybe 10 out of 11 bets that were made on that fight were on Chavez, but they were small. Most of the bigger wagers came in on Canelo, which we expected, and it was really betting to true form there, as most of the tickets are on the underdog and the bigger plays are on the favorite Canelo.
I didn't see the whole fight, but it didn't seem like a very interesting fight. It was really a clinic by Canelo, just eating Chavez Jr. apart. I guess the biggest news of the night was after the fight when they announced Triple G and Canelo for September. I'm curious how the books are looking at that this early in the game.
Well, you're exactly right, Jeffrey. It was a horrible fight. There's no other way to describe that fight. I'm sorry. You know, it was just, I was watching it, and it was like, it was to a point where you're like, man, I'm going to switch over to the basketball game. This is so boring. Chavez just, I think the way he fought was just to survive. It felt like...
He was just there for the paycheck.
Yeah, it was like... Remember when Apollo Creed said... Rocky said, no one's ever gone the distance with Apollo Creed? You know, I felt like that's what Chavez was trying to do. He goes, you know, he's just like, I'm just going to try to go the distance, because he certainly did not fight to win that fight. It was more of a survival type of fight for him, and Canelo could do whatever he wanted to do. I mean, it was really unfortunate because we didn't really get a good barometer of where Canelo is. I think he was fighting a good fight, but the competition, you know, in that ring on Saturday night just wasn't very good. And so it was really tough, but that leads us to the Triple G fight. That's going to be interesting. We opened that fight, Triple G minus $1.75.
Wow.
Canelo plus 155. It's already down to minus 160 plus 140. We did that as soon as they announced it. I think they announced it so quickly after the fight because there was rumors or whispers that if they were going to make this fight happen between Mayweather and McGregor, that they were looking at September 16th as well. So they grabbed that date. They haven't announced the site yet, but I hope it lands here in Las Vegas. But I know there's some discussions about some other cities, but I think it's just a negotiating ploy based on the promoters. They're teasing Vegas and trying to get the most out of Vegas they can. But I can't imagine that fight being anywhere else but here. This fight's going to be really, really popular at the betting counters because, one, it's the best matchup boxing could really provide us right now. And two, it's a low line, meaning that it's a very bettable line, $1.60 plus $1.40. In boxing terms, that's like a pick'em. So we expect a lot of action on it. We won't see the same type of action that we saw like on Mayweather and Pacquiao. I mean, that was like the biggest fight ever that I've been part of. But it's going to be something that's going to stir up a lot of interest, and we think most of the support will be on Canelo.
I tend to agree with you only because he's the younger and recently more dominant fighter, certainly. And everyone watched Golovkin in that last fight, and he didn't look like the Golovkin we've been watching for the last, 2 years.
Yeah, Golovkin he might have been a lot better a couple of years ago. Let's just put it that way. Now, I'm not sure if Canelo, was avoiding this fight because he didn't really want to fight Triple G until he got 35 years old. But it would be a good strategy. Triple G against Jacobs, I believe it was Triple G didn't look like himself there. I mean, he's starting to show some miles, and that's the only thing that's concerning now. Maybe he can get up I'm sure he's going to be emotionally up for this fight, but did his skills, have they dwindled down just a tad? Now he's a great, great fighter. He's undefeated, but he might be a different fighter, at 35 than he was at 32, 33.
Quick question. This was the first year that we were able to bet on the NFL draft. How significant was that, and how do you think your Broncos are going to do?
Betting on the NFL draft was very interesting. When I first heard about it, I wasn't too thrilled about it because I just thought it was just a matter of information out there. It really wasn't being played out on the field of play. Okay, it was just information. What information do you have? I mean, you have all these mock drafts, everything, and all these whispers going everywhere. But the public really warmed up to it. Now, we didn't write a ton of action on it, but we got a lot of small tickets on it, so I think it has a lot of potential. And despite my initial thoughts, so I'm looking forward to that moving forward. The Broncos, I think that their window of opportunity is really winding down with some of the stars that they had on this team, and they had a good run there for 2-3 years there. I think they're going to be competitive. I'm not sure they're going to be able to get up to that next level of really true contenders. But we'll see. I just think that it's a young man's game, and when you get these stars on that field for, more than 3 years, that window kind of shuts down. I think other teams have seen the same thing. Except with the exception of the Patriots. The Patriots seem to reload every year, but most teams go through that where you get, a bad year for the Broncos is 9-7. Can they make 10-6, 11-5? Probably not 11-5. 10-6 is very questionable. I think they're going to be right around what we saw last year.
Jay, how's the baseball action been so far this year? We're only 30 games into the season, but I would imagine you're seeing a lot of action on the Cubs. That's working out for you very well.
Yeah, they always bet the Cubs. They did even before they won the World Series, but now even more so today, as they always seem to bet the premier teams. They usually bet those teams, when they bet them over, they bet them on the run line. Baseball has been pretty solid for the books so far this year for baseball. I mean, I've heard some decent percentages around the state as far as whole percentages. What's really been a jab to us has been the NBA playoffs. We just can't win a game. I mean, the NBA playoffs, it seems like we lose every single game. There just hasn't been any upsets. Golden State and Cleveland are undefeated, and a lot of these games, if most of them are going over, so The books have been really on the short end of these NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs. Both sports seem to be going true to form, and once they get rolling, it just seems everybody just piles on, which is fine. That I'm not, as I explain, and I told Jonathan this plenty of times, I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm just trying to explain the results.
Let's be honest. At the end of the day, you guys end up a lot better off than we do.
Yeah. So, that's what I got to tell my bosses. Yeah, exactly.
Well, Jay, appreciate your time.
Thanks,
I know you're,
Jay,
you're
really
slammed. Look forward to seeing you again. Thanks again for all your hospitality.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Great. Jay Carnegie over at Westgate Sports Race and Sports Book.
That guy's knowledge on race and sports is just ridiculous.
Speaking of knowledge, we've got another caller coming in. Please say hello to our friend, one of the best, funniest comics in town, also at the Westgate, Vinny Favorito.
Hey!
Hey, guys. What are you doing?
Vin, what's up, buddy?
Not much. I can't wait till next year's Kentucky Derby to hear your picks on that one, too. Oh, you're a real idiot. Hey, I know a guy. Do you?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you should meet another guy.
I got a guy. Yeah. Jeffrey said he's got his wise guy told him.
I had the wise guy pick, Vin.
Yeah. New wise guy.
Funny. I just heard him talking about Golden State, but Golden State wasn't covering.
They covered the last game.
They
I don't know what
Saturday.
They did in the first two games.
Yeah, but the first two games they didn't cover.
They didn't. Only because they were at home. They were like double-digit favorites.
Yeah, they covered on Saturday.
Yeah,
Cleveland
was just like a no-brainer for people. I mean, I wish I was betting because I was like, oh, my God. But it's one of those things you go on paper, it looks good, and then you get nervous about, you know. But Cleveland's just on fire.
They landed right on the number last night, I think, too. The spread was 7. I think it was 109.
Exactly on 7. Earlier in the day, because we bet it was 6.5.
Yep.
By the time we got to the window, it moved to 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
Vin,
yeah,
do you like
amazing.
Golden State tonight? -8.5 on the road?
I didn't hear you. What?
Do you like Golden State tonight on the road? -8.5?
You know, I personally, I do. But, you know, you just don't know who's going to show up. And, you know, and then the garbage at the end. And it's just. It's amazing. The first game, you thought they were going to blow them out, and it would go over, and they don't score at all. I mean, it's like crazy. And these playoffs, I mean, it just seems so lopsided that it's just they're blowouts. How do the Celtics win by the first two games?
That was awesome.
And then they get their asses beat the second and third, you know what I mean? Third and fourth.
Yesterday's game was so embarrassing. We're tied at halftime, and then we let these guys go on a 26-0 run.
Yeah, and he's sitting on the bench. What do you call it? Man, now I'm drawing a blank.
Who's on the bench? Isaiah?
Isaiah. He sat on the bench. I mean, it's just like he started out hot and then nothing, you know? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. He can have 53 points in one game, and then they got to be more consistent. Cleveland is the most consistent team to me, obviously. Even though my dad was from Cleveland, I hate Cleveland big time. But I don't know, whatever. I can't figure these.
LeBron and Kyrie are playing at another level right now.
Well, Kyrie is the best point here. I mean, he's unreal. He's so quick.
And people don't realize how good he makes LeBron look.
Exactly. And this guy is—he really is—he's unbelievable. And then look at Houston. What's happening with San Antonio? And I understand Parker's out and all that stuff, but Jesus, it's just so lopsided. Some of these things are a game one for them. How embarrassing was that?
Oh yeah, they got blown out at home in their worst loss ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's just—it to me, it's like. A true playoff team in any sport, to me, is a team that can be behind 25 points and come back and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Cubs. How about that Cubs game last night with the Yankees going 18 innings?
The marathon last night with the Yankees.
Well, that's why this is the one pick I'll give you to make you look good.
Hey, let's go. What do you got?
What
do you got?
Team is. Huh?
Give us the winner.
Here's your winner, and I this game could already be tied. I have no idea. I really don't. I don't think so. I think it's a night game, but Cincinnati.
Jeffrey just wrote while you were taking a breath.
Before you gave me the answer,
he
I wrote
down
Cincy.
Cincy.
What's that?
Before you gave me the play, I wrote down for Jonathan and Carl to see. I put down Cincinnati because everyone is jumping on the Reds tonight.
Absolutely, the Yankees play. 18 innings of ball. They were ahead 4-1. They give us the run. Now they got to play 18 innings of ball, get on a flight, and go to Cincinnati. It's just like there's no other way to go.
I got an equally what I think is an equally good play, and that is the other team that was involved in the 18-inning game last night, the Cubs. They have to get on a plane and fly to Colorado tonight and play a very good Colorado team that's like 20-10. And their starting pitcher, Arrieta, was batting in the 12th inning last night.
Exactly. And I say you make it a three-teamer, and you put the over on that game.
On the Rockies?
Yes.
Take the Cincy, the Rockies, and over Rockies.
Yes.
I'm putting it in. It's my Favorito special of the day.
The last pick I gave you was a winner.
And it was before the season started.
Exactly.
It was a great pick.
Carl's got a question.
I'm not like your normal tout. You know, trying to make everybody, hey, I got this, I got that. I only give them once in a blue moon, so there you go. Go hit your three-teamer and make up for that, your mutters.
my mutter was there. It was my mutter's mutter.
Mutter's mutter.
Vinny, this is Carl. I want to regress back to the Warriors. You had a great comment there, and I think people got blown up by it. You said that a team that gets down by 10, 20 points and 25 is a true team that can make that comeback. And that's what you're looking at with the Warriors. I've never seen a team that had so much confidence on the court, from their three-point shooting right on down to the depth of the bench, that their ability to come back 10, 15, 20 points after being up 20 points, go down 20 points and come back. But if they take the lead, they hold it. I think you said something very important there. That team has got the capability of coming back, and they believe
like,
it. They believe it.
That's why
it.
I'm so disappointed with the Celtics. They can be behind 17 points and come back and win the game and cover the line. You know what I mean? I mean they can play with that kind of confidence, but when they're not playing with it, it's just such a letdown. Just like San Antonio. No, I don't care who's out, who's on the – I don't care. No professional team, especially the San Antonio Spurs, should be blown out in game one the way they were. It's these are professional athletes. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like me going on stage and I just sucked for like, 45 minutes, and then the last 15 minutes – or the first 15 minutes I was funny. We get paid to do a job, and you got to. And it's like in the playoffs, it's supposed to be the best. Listen, I'm not a. I'm no big athlete or nothing like that. But you show up for these playoffs, Cleveland. That's why Cleveland and Golden State. Hey, I understand the number. Got nothing to do with the number. Golden State has just been a monster for a long time now. They're a monster, and they keep getting stronger and stronger. They add Durant, they make it even that much better. But then you see a team like Houston. And they're playing with a lot of heart right now. You know what I mean? And I think, it's just everything's a surprise. He says everybody jumps on, Jake did. Everyone jumps on, and they can't win a game because everything's going true to form. I don't know. Is that true to form, Jeffrey? Is that what's happening?
Well, I don't know. I know he says he's getting killed on either side. I know that the overs have been coming in, so those play – and listen, it's – most bettors are going to play the favorite in the over. That's just how most of the public bets.
Right.
But I can't speak to the sides, but definitely on the totals, they've been coming in that way. And if you look at the Celtics series, it's gone like that for the first four games. Celtics took the first two, and Washington easily took the next two.
Right. And then the other thing is, when these home road teams like Cleveland, stuff like that, they're on the road, the only time you can really bet the home team against them is just in the first half.
Correct, and that's what I said tonight. If you want to take Utah in the first quarter or first half, they may come out fired up. Gordon Hayward may go off in the first quarter, first half. Eventually, they'll make adjustments at halftime.
Exactly.
Durant,
exactly.
And you can't stop these guys.
I see a trend when LeBron was with Miami in the playoffs. Remember that?
Sure.
They were behind every game. You could bet against them in the first half like it was a lock.
Yep, and then the second half,
and then they come back and they win the game.
And Wade and Ray Allen, and they would go crazy.
Yeah. Exactly. That's the best trend I see.
For those who haven't seen your show, can you describe a little bit about your show rather than me saying anything about your show?
Not for the faint of heart.
I bleep bleep, and then I bleep, and I bleep bleep bleep, and I bleep, and I bleep bleep.
You're bleeping funny,
buddy. It's a very politically incorrect show. It's a different show every night. It's a interactions, interactive show. Everyone gets involved. You're warned, and then you realize, hey, you know what? We're laughing with each other, not at each other. And I get every group, you know, and it doesn't matter. If you're in the room, I'm going to get you. I don't care your age, your color, your this, because the world's so screwed up right now. You need a show like me.
You have a lot of good material to use.
Yeah, exactly.
9 o'clock.
It's 9 o'clock Wednesday through Sunday at the Westgate. And it's just really, and it's growing every day. I've been there since September. I'm just having a ball over there. And, you know, you brought your mom, Jonathan, and, you know, she had a great time. And that's the kind of show it is. It doesn't, age has nothing to do with it. It's just all demographics. You know what I mean?
Last night I had 16 felons
in the room that were brought in a special van that are, you know, and God bless them. And they were awesome. They were great. And then towards the end of the night, I got a kid who's, where do you go to school? He goes, biblical studies. I go, you're going to be a priest, and this is the show you chose to come see? And I go, what is this, your thesis? I found the devil. I found him.
Yeah. And you always do find him. Wednesday through Sunday, Westgate, 9 p.m., Vinny Favorito, Unfiltered.
Yes, guys, thanks for having me. I love you.
Always a pleasure talking to you. I love it.
Great, Vinny Favorito. Thank you, my friend.
Later, buddy.
Thank you. We're going to take another commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Been a long time.
Yeah.
That's my son.
This is Black Dog.
Scott Vegas Nonstop on a Monday afternoon, coming back at you to talk about the work week, the sports, and everything else that's going on around town here in fabulous Las Vegas, NIV. During the break, I told a couple of jokes, and they said it's okay to tell them on the air, so I will proceed accordingly. The first one, it was actually a smaller one. It was a shorter joke about a baby seal. A baby seal walks into a bar, and the bartender says to the baby seal, "What do you have?" And then the baby seal says, "Anything but a Canadian club."
And there goes the chair.
And my seat just went down.
And there goes the chair.
The other one's about the penguin whose car breaks down. Penguin's driving from Vegas to L.A. Car breaks down in the middle of nowhere, Victorsville or somewhere. And the penguin brings the car into a service station and says to the mechanic, "Can you tell me what's wrong with the car?" Mechanic looks on and says, "It's going to take about an hour. Why don't you go across the street to the ice cream shop, get an ice cream, come on back." Penguin gets the ice cream, comes on back. The mechanic's under the hood of the car. Penguin says to the mechanic, "So what do you think is wrong with the car?" And the mechanic says, "It looks like it blew a seal." He says, "No, it's just a little ice cream." All right. So you want to talk about hockey?
I like that. Ooh, the old Price is Right.
Anything but a Canadian club.
I love that. Hey, yeah. Vinny, if you're listening, I just put in that three-team parlay. $50 pays $437.
Yeah, so 43-1.
The Rockies, the over, and the Cincinnati Reds.
Is that right? 43-1?
No, your math is not very good.
Oh, you put in 50? Not
$50 10. To get back 440.
So 8-1.
It's about 9-1.
9-1. Not bad.
A little shy of 9-1. Yeah, man. NHL hockey playoffs have been unbelievable. We have Game 7 between Edmonton and Anaheim on Wednesday. Anaheim could have closed out the Oilers yesterday. Oilers dropped 7 on Anaheim to win 7-1 to force a Game 7. Tonight, obviously, we have Washington at the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Penguins were up 3-1. The series could have closed out Washington. The other night in Washington, they're up 2-1 after two periods. Washington scores 3 in the third to take a 4-2 win and force Game 7. 6 tonight.
I'd like 2 pickets to Pittsburgh, please.
In Pittsburgh. And, of course, Ottawa and New York. Ottawa wins a great overtime game the other night, and they go back to Ottawa up 3-2 tomorrow night, looking to take out the Blue Shirts, the Rangers. So, yeah, hockey's in full swing.
That was a good
swing.
Game, too, the other day. And
Unbelievable.
Went to OT?
Yeah.
I was watching
right before
it.
The race. Yeah. It was a great game. 4-4 in overtime, and Ottawa wins in overtime.
Who did you want to win?
I like Ottawa because I hate the Rangers.
Yeah, you do. It's unusual that you hate a New York team.
No, I hate all New York teams.
You hate all New York teams?
I hate all New York teams.
You hate the Yankees?
Yeah, with a passion.
Oh, all right.
And I might even hate the... Well, no, I hate the Giants, but I hate the Yankees more.
So, Carl, it's your birthday, so we have to give you at least a minute to talk about your career as a teller at the Sports Window. What's one of the most unusual things, I'll put you on the spot, that you ever saw come up to the window?
I was accused of hitting a woman on camera. through the gate.
No, I meant while you were working.
They accused me and looked on the cameras. Nothing happened, and I was...
By the way, how do you hit someone through the cage?
Yeah, well, how do you hit them without them being on camera?
Yeah, and it was carefully.
I was given a slogan, floats like a butterfly, stings like a bee, punches so fast the cameras can't see.
There you go. Poetry on your birthday.
And I worked for one of the
greatest... Well, happy birthday. Welcome back to town.
Thank you.
Any restaurants we want to plug? Big Dogs. Carlitos Burritos has new location on Sunset.
Yeah, good stuff.
Taco Tuesday, our friend Mark
Tuesday,
and Kennedy.
Two for one tacos.
Saw Lanny Counts over the weekend at Ron DeCar's. Clint Holmes produced that show. Jonathan Ogden Celebrity Bowling is coming up on May 21st, so we're now in May.
Amazing.
Bronx Wanderers, we talked about that. Dana Carvey and John Lovitz will be back in June, first weekend in June. NBA Summer League, it's not until July, so we got a little while on that. Again, Gordy Brown opening on Thursday, Clint Holmes opening tomorrow night. And we got plenty of sports going on, and we gave you our three-teamer. Anything else you want to wrap up on?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Wine Club. If you love wine, you want to get it delivered to your house, you want to go to some great wine tasting parties, go to VegasWineLovers.com or give me a call at 702-883-1111. 702-883-1111. Finally saw La La Land. I like that movie.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, if you want to see I like
that's
comedian.
A musical, correct?
Yeah, it is. They're all singing.
Oh, you said the comedian.
So the comedian with
De Niro.
Robert De Niro. If you like comedy and stand up comedy, I'd be wondering to see what Vinny Favorito thought about that show. But De Niro is always great. It was a great movie. If you see us out there, please say hello. Buy us some cocktails. Support our sponsors. Thursday night live music on the porch at Big Dogs. Hopefully the weather will be great and agreeable to all of us.
They have live music on the patio now?
Live music on the patio on Thursdays is back. Starts at 7 o'clock. All kinds of craft beers, cheese curds, ribs, Wisconsin-inspired food.
Good food.
Friday. Tune in on Friday for our podcast. We call it a podcast, but it's really a Facebook Live video cast. Broadcast.
We had a great one.
Always fun.
Week.
Shout out to Cindy Williams and Bronx Wanderers. Lots of great shows. See a show. Have a meal. Again, if you see us out there, please stop over and say hello. Eat well. Party hard. Carl, happy birthday.
Carl,
thanks,
happy birthday. Good
Thank
to have you,
you again,
back.
Gentlemen. Thank
Bobby,
you.
Good to have you back. Glad you're back to flip us off. It was a three-finger day today, so I think we're out of time. The clock on the wall says it's
time
out of time.
To go.
Well, we still
say it's a three-finger day.
It's a three-finger day.
Bobby's in a good mood when we get three fingers.
I don't know what else we have to plug.
He's feeling good again. I love it. Bobby's back.
AA Casaro Plumbing. If your plumbing is out, call Angelo Casaro. Stop by the Italian American Club. Carlo Pellegrino. Go to Britalion, another great sponsor. Carlo was on with a shout out. So that's it. Now we've filled up the full hour.
Unbelievable.
Is it true? I don't like Mondays.
We did it again.
Have a great Monday night. See you out there, everybody.